Lord, I pray you'd help tonight. We need you. Lord, I know that you're sufficient for all that we need. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be open and attentive to your word. And Lord, I pray that you just continue to work tonight. Lord, we love you and thank you for all you've done for us. And Lord, I pray that you would just give us what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. What y'all don't know is what I know, and that is what we're preaching on tonight. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach. One, I don't necessarily appreciate the circumstances in which I get to preach. But I do know that God seems to be working in ways that I don't understand. And not that I understand a lot anyways, but I'm thankful to be at Berean, and it's a special place. And I want to approach the text tonight with this idea, and I pray it's a help to you as it's been a help to me. And this is the title, if you will, and Brother Lance is always on me about titles. I don't know. So here it is. Expressing my love for my God. Okay? Expressing my love for my God. And I pray that the caveat that's coming in a little bit will be a help to us tonight as we do endeavor in 2023 to do our best as a person, as a family, as Berean Baptist Church to continue. But in this specific area, to express our love for our God. Because He's mine. And He's yours. But I'll go ahead and reveal my hand a little bit. It has to be done His way. Amen. It's imperative that we love God His way. It's not my way. Let's take our Bibles. Don't stand just yet. To Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. In the text this evening, we are confronted with the terms of a covenant. You say, well, what's a covenant? It's a legal document binding, and a covenant would be like a marriage covenant. Something between myself and another person and then God. There's a bigger entity at stake here. All right. So like a marriage covenant. And this covenant would be recognized, actually go back to Deuteronomy chapter 27. And I want to set the stage a little bit for us this evening. In verse 1, it says this. Don't stand yet. It's not our text. We've got like 3 or 4 chapters before we get to the text. So when I said February earlier, I was half serious, half not. So, but for the sake of my job, I'm going to not take that long. But in chapter 27 of Deuteronomy, the Bible says this in verse 1. And Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying. So can you feel the authority behind it? It's Moses, the very person that God had invested in to be the spokesman for His people. That's the person that is addressing the people of Israel. But he also says with who? With the elders behind him. All right. So you have God, you have the spokesperson, and then you have every other spokesperson that possible that are behind what's coming. All right. And, of course, if you're familiar with your Bible, you'd recognize that Deuteronomy 27 is where Moses puts them up against two mountains. And he puts some of the people on this side and some of the people on this side. And he gives them this idea that you're going to have to choose between a blessing and a curse. Everything that God has laid out before us so far has come to this two ideas. All right? It's a blessing. Or it could be a curse. Why? Because if you don't do it His way. Friend, we have to do it His way. But he divides the people, and one side is Gerizim to bless the people, and on the other side we have Mount Ebal to show the curse. And then if you jump ahead to chapter 28, in verse 1 it says this, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to what? To observe and to do all His commandments, which I have commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Sounds pretty awesome, doesn't it? If you'll just do what God has directed you to do, to observe it, to consider it, to look at it, and then just to go do it, then God will bless it. Why? It's His way.
Amen.
Now, chapter 29, a couple pages over. Of course, chapter 28, it's literally going through a account of what the overarching law would be, all right, between the children of Israel and then God's law. And then verse 20, or chapter 29, verse 1, it says this: "These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and to all his servants and unto his land." And then he goes through a whole other list of what they had seen with their own eyes. Well, you remember who is remembering all this now? Because everyone over 40 is just about dead at this point. Why? Because they're about to go in the promised land. So all the younger generation had to remember what God had done for their fathers, and their fathers chose to reject. Okay? Moses is adding layers upon layers upon layers. All right? Chapter 30. "And it came to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee." Sounds pretty serious stuff. There's a blessing and a cursing at stake. It's up to us to decide tonight. Will we continue? Let's all stand together. We're going to begin reading in verse 11. The Bible says this: "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee. It is in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but thou shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you this day, that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou passest over Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him. Listen to this: for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. And Lord, I pray that we would all understand what's at stake. Lord, not just for me, but for the next generation and the next generation and the next. Lord, you've been so faithful to us previous. You've been so faithful to us today. And Lord, we know that you will be faithful in the future. But God, I pray that you'd help us to do our part to live for you and to live for you your way. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In our text, we have encountered a discourse to the children of Israel directly from God. It is God speaking to his people, and he's already laid out for them that he has brought them out of the land of Egypt and through the wilderness. And he's encountered kings over and over again and shown how that he is so far superior to everything this world could offer. But then they come into the wilderness and they face a difficult circumstance. And what do? At the brook of Kadesh Barnea, they see the promises of God across the brook and they turn away. Why? It looked too hard. Looked almost too good to be true, didn't it? It was that simple. Just go and take it. But they walked away. So what did God do? Did he leave them aside and decide to, "I'll just start over with a new country. I'll pick a new man out"? No. He shows his loving kindness, his long suffering. And what does he do? He says, "Well, I'll put him through 40 years of difficulty, so they know that they could have done in just a few months what will now cost them lives to do." And this would be their history. This would be their relationship to this point. God had been faithful. They would mess up, and yet God would still remain faithful. He would continue to bring them back to where he needed them to be, and then he would show them something else. And then they would step away again. Are we all familiar with Israel's history? Can we say that they're known to be like a stiff-necked people? Could we use the Bible word? They're obstinate. They don't want to do... Oh, well, let me say it like this. I want what I want. It is in this backdrop that we see that God has just laid out for them literally a lifestyle that touches every part of life. Well, you could talk about government. He lays it out for them in the law. What food they are to eat in the law. Their relationship with one another in the law. What about their relationship with God in the law? What about their religious practices in the law? Everything that they were as a people would be tied to this covenant right here. Everything boils down to this point. And it's almost as if God is trying in a way to take away every excuse possible for them to see that he's made everything available to them. Everything. Because God did make his commandments available to his people. He did. We could go back to Exodus chapter 20. And what does it say? It literally says that God penned the Ten Commandments. He literally gave them to Moses. Then he comes down the mountain. What's wrong? They're not even serving him. We could go all through their history. And we've done that twice already, so I'll stop. But God makes it very clear in verse 11 of our text, Deuteronomy chapter 30, that the very presence of God's direction for their life was right here. Right here. All right? For this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Have you ever played hide and seek before? And it's the version of the game, if you find them, you're safe. It's not the version, you have to go tag them. Those are for the athletic people, not like me. All right? So you count to 20 million. 1, 2, 3, skip a few, 2 million. Okay, y'all know how to do it. Okay. So, but that word hidden is as if they could never find it. Okay, it's almost as if you're going to play hide and seek with something that's not even there. It's hidden. That word far. He goes on to explain it in the next few verses that it is not far off. Okay, is it in heaven? So we think about, well, we can fly to space now, right? Like if it's up in space, like let's go do that. No, this is way before space travel. Okay, is it in the stars that if we could formulate an idea of a rocket and go shoot up and find it, could we go grab it with our hands and be tangible? That's the question he's diffusing. Okay, or what if it's across the sea? Once again, sea travel, not something that they would be super good at this point. Okay? Very unattainable. All right? Now, but that's not exactly what this is saying, is it? So let's read it again. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee. So it's not like we're playing hide and seek with something that we can't find. It's right here. And it's literally so close to you that if you were to go over there and talk to Moses, he could literally show it to you. All right? Or is it so far that it's in heaven and we'd have to send someone up there just so they could bring it to us that we could hear it and then do it? No. You just have to go talk to the man of God. Or is it across the sea that if we took turns swimming across the sea? No. You're missing the point. Maybe you're like, no, you're missing the point. No. Listen. God removed everything from them. Amen. So that they could attain everything that they desired. God's commandments were not hidden from his people. They were not beyond their reach. They didn't need another person's help to understand what God desired of them. They didn't. How or why? Like, how is that even possible? Because he laid it out before them. He made it very clear. In this area of life, you do this. In this area of life, you have this spectrum to work within. In this area of life, you have this to work with. He literally goes through every area of life, and this is exactly how I expect you to respond. It was clear to them what they needed to do. God expected not only his commandments to be known, because he had done that for them, but he also expected his commandments to be acted upon. Okay? So it's not that we just hear the word, because if you read through all these questions, these hypothetical questions that he just asked, what's the end of all of them? To hear it and to what? To do it. Okay, so if I were to tell you all, I don't want you to do it. If I were all to ask you to stand and all of you heard that, okay, I would expect you to stand. Okay, let's try it. Joseph, stand. To hear and to do. Would we agree? Okay. Joseph, sit. Good job. He's learning. All right. But what if I said, Joseph, run around the auditorium? Okay. He heard it, right? Did you? Okay. But is he going to do it? He chose not to do it. Okay? You know what this is saying? That God's commandment, which I commanded them this day, it's not hidden from you, it's not far off, it's not in heaven, it's not beyond the sea, but each and every one of you have to choose to do it. Because if we don't choose to do it, it's just falling on deaf ears to hear it and to do it. It's the same word as hearken that we read in chapter 28. To hearken and to do it diligently. Same idea. Now, God already predetermined the outcome of their responses. What do you mean? Well, very beginning in chapter 27, he shows them this picture of a blessing and a curse. Right? Remember? Just a few minutes ago, guys. Okay. Now, he lays it out for them, a blessing and a curse. He already predetermined that if you will submit yourself to the law and what I have commanded thee this day, blessing. But if you reject and you will not turn your heart to me, curse. It is there that we have a picture of a valley of decision, is it not? We're going to pick, are we going to live a blessed life or a cursed life? Blessing. They would experience the blessing of the land. So we have to make sure that we're in the mindset of the Israelites. Okay? We don't have a blessing of a land that's directly promised from God. Okay? But they did. If they lived for Him. All right? Now, they would have the blessing of the land. They would have the provision of a God that is faithful through fruitfulness of that land. They are promised long life, and they are promised that they would be blessed. They were also promised that they wouldn't be removed from that land. So there's already flags going off, right? That we already can name people that their lives were shortened or that they were removed from the land because what? They didn't do it His way. It's His way. Now, just as they could live to see their children's children and see their children serve the very same God that brought them out of Egypt, that was available to them. It was available to them. Okay? The opposite would also be true. That it would also be available to those who would reject God. The idea of reject is what I previously, is to understand the truth and to reject it, to push it away. Okay? In verse 18, there's this word called denounce. And I thought I understood what it meant, and I think I may have been close, but not really. Okay? This word denounce is the idea of diverting water away from a field. Okay? Now, is water important? Yes. Okay? If you ever live in Texas, you will see trenches for miles. Why? Water. Got to get water there. Okay? So, but if you were to divert water away from the field, in this negative connotation, it's almost as if someone had removed the water from that area on purpose so that you wouldn't have what you needed to sustain yourself. Do you follow? It's as if you choose to reject me as God, if you choose to push away the blessing of God and turn away from me, I'll just turn the water off. Man. Now that ties it back to the land really, really fast, doesn't it? We could look ahead several hundred years and see how that there would be famine and drought. Because why? They rejected and they chose to be cursed. There were witnesses. In verse 19 it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. He's like, it's so clear of an option, it's not even an option. He gives us the answer. And yet we still have to choose. Isn't that awesome that our God lets us choose? It's interesting to me that he called heaven and earth. And I honestly didn't realize that until this afternoon when I was studying a little bit further into the text. And that, so in a treaty, which is what a covenant would be in this time frame, a treaty, at the very end of it, they would call upon their gods to seal it or to be a witness against it. So let's, for instance, use Baal. It was used this morning, and they were going to sign off a treaty on a covenant of a piece of land. They, at the very end, when it was all said and done, they said, "And I call Baal to be a witness against me." Okay, that's what they would say. So that they were giving the authority back to Baal instead of them. So they almost sound religious, right? Okay. Now, so in doing that, they would call on something higher than themselves to bless it or to offer authority to it. All right. Now, what's the highest authority? It's God, right? Okay. What is God going to use to be a witness? Well, he would only have a couple options. He could use man, could he not? I mean, that's the crown of his creation. And you would say, sure, that would be a good option. But who is he making the covenant with? Mankind, the nation of Israel. So what would be the next greatest option? Why not creation itself? Why not creation yearning how that God had provided everything for them? Why not call creation to stand witness against man? Now, you're saying, Brother Tim, this is all great, and I hope you think it's great. But can we say it this way? God's commandments have this desire. Every part of God's commandment has this desire that we choose God, that we choose blessing, and that we turn away from the curse. But that's not very natural for me. We say, well, what do you mean by that? It's not my propensity. It's not my my natural response to a circumstance to say, God, you're right. It's not. I think if you were to consider your life, you would say something similar. Right. Not in church, of course. It is natural for me to do what I want to do. You know what I did yesterday? It was a nice day, nicer. So what did I do? I went and played golf. Okay, that was before preacher called me and said, "Hey, I need you to preach tomorrow night." I was actually on the putting green warming up, and he calls me. And I'm like, I guess I'll play golf and then go study. Sounds like a pretty cool day. So I did that, played golf, and then I had forgotten Miss Hannah had plans. And so I'm like, okay, well, I will study after she makes her plan, or finish her plans. And it wasn't something that could move, it's not a big deal. And I'm like, well, so y'all see, it kind of keeps, I'm doing what I want to do, okay? It's not natural for us to do what someone else wants us to do. You know what I mean? Yep. So if my wife, for instance, hypothetically speaking, were to ask me, hey, let's go, trying to think of something I would not want to do for my wife. I'm such a great husband that nothing's coming to mind. I'm not looking at her because she'll come up with a few things and then that'll be awkward. Laundry. I struggle with laundry. Okay, I wear laundry a lot, especially recently. I wear like 17 layers, and it was still negative 24, supposedly, or whatever. I don't. there's a certain level of cold. It doesn't matter anymore, okay? All right, and we hit it. I don't know where it was. But I don't like to do laundry. Okay, it's not something that I'm going to go out of my way to do, even if it's in the basket where it goes to be put away. It's already cleaned. It's already been laundered. It just needs to be hung up. And 90% of it's probably my clothes. Okay? I'm not going to go out of my way, naturally, to go do that. And by the faces of every husband in the room, I'm not the only one. It makes me feel better. Kind of. Now, laundry can be silly. It's annoying. But it has to be done. But have you heard people make maybe more serious statements that, you know, I want to worship God this way? Or I think if we were to kind of shift the lighting in here or shift the music, it would be more inviting for a seeker-friendly audience. Well, who's our audience? Because according to this text, it has nothing to do with them and all to do with Him.
Yes,
and that matters.
Amen, brother.
And I don't mean to single out one area, because we could go across the spectrum of music or dress or, God forbid, the Bible. There's something to be said here. Why change it? Now, if God hasn't spoken on something, then we have what we use in the youth class is, I use the word baseline. Okay? So, if God hasn't spoken on something specifically about the Xbox games that I play this afternoon, okay, if He hasn't. As far as I know, Xbox is not mentioned in the Bible. I've read it a few times and it's not there. Okay, so what we do in youth class is I have this line that I draw on the board. And if there is something suggestive that comes up in the game, that's a knock against it. Because there's a baseline in the Bible that we shouldn't put things in our life in front of my eyes. I make a covenant with my eyes, right? That we should, okay, baseline. There's things that we could check off the boxes down the line. There's a baseline. So when we make the jump from Israel, before they go into the land, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses is about to pass off the scene, to 2023, to today, what's similar? What's the same? Because that is what is timeless. That is what God has preserved for us in His Word. And that is what we have to come to the conclusion of so that you can live for Him. His way. Let's look at it again briefly and we'll be done this evening. Verse 11. You say we're starting over? Won't be long. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we might hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Now, the commandment of God was the law. There's no question about that. But I ask this question. Do we live under the law today? We don't. We live under grace, don't we? Now, how do we know what grace to live under? Well, it's in God's Word. And it tells us to live by the Spirit, to live and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, does it not? And so that's what we are to live. And it says that we have liberty to live within the realm of God's Word. Liberty is limiting and it's a blessing. We say, how does that even make sense? Think about it. Liberty limits us, and it's a blessing. It's that God-given parameters of what we live in our life. And we have liberty to do exactly what God tells us what to do. It's pretty awesome. Okay, so we have God's Word. All right, the first few verses here. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whithersoever thou possessest. It almost sounds like if we were to step back and look up the ladder and see how that God has used his word over and over and over in my life and in your life, we could see that there's some value here. It's almost as if you live according to God's word, that's how we can continue. Do you see it? Because if you go back and look at the passage there in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, what is he telling Timothy to do? The very things that I've taught you from the very beginning that are actually based out of the law, that all these things, keep doing that. Don't stop that. Because that is what's going to allow you to continue to do exactly what God wants us to do. So you're asking, Brother Tim, what about 2023? We're in this new year. Everyone's like, it's a fresh start. It's wonderful. It's something we can start over. Why would you want to start stuff over? I don't understand that. Like, anyways, that's another subject for another time. Anyways, we have an opportunity to choose tonight, today, blessing or cursing. And it's so simple that God said this in verse 20. Let's read it together. That thou may, or let's back up to verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may what? May live. So what's the goal of life? To live. Let's back up. What's the goal of life? To live. Okay, let's make sure we're on the same page there. But how are we supposed to love God? And that how we started the message, expressing my love for my God. Verse 20 answers our question. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, to hear and to do. You obey it. You submit to what he wants us to do. That thou mayest cleave unto him. We all recognize the word cleave has to do with a man and a woman, right? Well, if you were to do a word study, it would have the idea of molten metal, okay? To cleave. So you're going to take metal, melt it down to liquid, pour it all together, two different metals, and let it solidify and then separate it. Can you do that? Because we want all of this metal here and all of this metal right here. Well, that's impossible. Why? Because it's cleaved together. It's one piece. That's our relationship with God. That's how we love him, to cleave to him. What else does it say? For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. If you want an abundant life, what are we to submit to? His way. It's not my way. It's his way. It's available. It's right here. He's done everything we need to do. We just have to accept it. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for your word. I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help us to respond to the word as it's preached. And I pray that you'd help us as we look even into this new year. I pray that it would be advantageous for us to consider what you've done for us, but also to look ahead and see that if we live according to your Bible and to your word, your commandment, that you're sufficient. Lord, you give us the offering today of a blessing or a curse. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need to respond this evening, I'd encourage you to do that. If you need help with anything, I'd be glad to pray with you, other men or ladies. But you come, Brother John's going to sing.
I have decided.